times. Things are happening in the larger world that we live in that affects everybody. Of course, the pandemic, some were mentioned even this morning. The riots and the racism that is on the streets of our cities. And everyone has their own opinion about all how it should be handled. I'm the preaching pastor and the person who forgot to hit the start button on the sermon. So now I have to start all that over again. I won't do that to you. Oop, I just took a picture of myself. Video camera, there we go. Boop, there we go. Added to the stresses that I just mentioned, but didn't record, are the regular things of our personal lives. It's not like it's just the big picture things that are going on, but we all have the regular stresses of life at a very personal level. And the bottom line for all of us is you put all that together, and this is a challenging time to navigate. But we're even a little bit different here than the rest of the world, because as Christians, we're actually called to face all of this reality in a different way. We're not to be like the rest of the world. We are to be lights shining in the darkness. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. We are to live for Jesus in these days by allowing Jesus to live in us and through us. That's our calling. We are to choose on a regular basis. We are to choose love, compassion, patience, generosity, hope. We're to be beacons of all of that instead of cynicism and anger and critical spirit and hopelessness. Christians are to be different. But the question is, how do we pull this off in real day-to-day life? In your current reality, whatever that may be, how do we do that? Little side note, probably this wasn't on your radar screen, but this last week, one of the great Christians of the last 100 years passed away this last week. May not even know his name. His name was J.I. Packer. And he was a theologian, a pastor, an author. He wrote two books. One was Knowing God, and the other was Keeping in Step with the Spirit. He wrote many more books. Those are two that I've read that deeply impacted my life. And actually, it's not a side note, because this morning's message is loosely based on some principles that I learned initially from one of his books about how to live out the Christian life in difficult situations in everyday life. And I want to share that with you this morning. So if you want to pull your outlines out, this is going to be one of those outlines that I actually hope you'll stick in your Bible, or you will, at the end of the day, want to put this someplace this week that you can look at and come across several times to remind you of a process of living for Jesus in every situation. How do I face any situation? And Jesus is what I gave as the title for this morning. And as we begin, just right now, before we start, I want you to stop and I want you to think about, what are some of the challenges that I am facing right now, personally? Now, I know you don't have to work very hard at this, because I know something about you, because it's true of me. I brought those in here with me this morning. They're never very far from our consciousness because we think about it all the time. Those difficulties and those challenges that we face, they're right there. So I want those in your mind as you take those through the grid of what we're going to talk about this morning. How to face any situation in Jesus. The first step for the believer is to admit that I cannot do this without you, Jesus. That's where it begins, with a confession, an admission. I need you, Jesus. I'm going to repeat a verse that I just preached on a few weeks ago. John 15:5 is our verse for this. I am the vine. This is Jesus talking. I am the vine. I am the source. You are the branches. If a person remains in me, plugged into me, and I am him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Admit that I cannot do this without Jesus. Now we have to understand a very important distinction here. This doesn't mean, of course, that a person cannot carry on with life without Jesus. People are doing that right now all over the world. They do it every day. They've been doing it since the beginning of time. People continue on. They make it through. Sometimes not so good, sometimes a little better. But that is not what this is talking about, just making it. When it says, without me, you can do nothing, Jesus is saying, you can do nothing of bearing fruit for God. You cannot bear fruit for God without me. So if you are a Christian, and if you are living life with the goal of living a fruitful life with God, if you are a Christian who is living a life where your desire and your goal is, God, I want to glorify you with the way that I live my life, that's what Jesus is talking about. Without me, you can't do any of that. You need me. This is simply the prayer of surrender. And here is my observation. For way too many Christians, this is a missing part of the rhythm of your life. And this is a huge teaching moment for you. Do you have a teachable spirit? Because this is key. If coming before God and in surrender and in confessing to Him, Jesus, I need you again today. I need you in my life. I need you to deal with this situation that I'm dealing with, to deal with this relationship, to deal with this decision I'm facing, to deal with this challenge, this trial, this sickness. If that's not a regular rhythm that you choose to do, you're missing something huge. Right off the bat, you're off base. Because it begins the Christian life, I believe, the rhythm of the Christian life, of actually living it, begins with asking God, admitting to God, I need you. And that's where it begins. Secondly, that leads to a prayer to pray earnestly. After I admit my need for Him, I pray earnestly for God's help. These kind of flow one right into the other. Pray earnestly for God's help. But wait a minute, once again, I got to ask the question, help for what? In what way? And there's two mindsets on planet Earth for believers or for people who kind of believe in God. And if you get this next part wrong, you're going to pray wrong. And here it is. There are people that believe, and even Christians who believe, that God exists to serve me. And if that's the mindset, then when you say, I need to pray for God's help, that will translate into, God, help me get what I want. Help me win. But others have learned that that's actually backwards, upside down. And the reality is that God does not exist to serve us, but He created us and He redeemed us when we rebelled in our sinfulness. He saved us back into a right relationship where we understand that we are there, what? To serve Him. And it's only when we come at it, prayer, life, with that mentality, that we will pray for God's help in a right manner. In other words, the prayer is, God, and you might even write this in on the blank, God, help me to love as Jesus loved. Help me to live in this situation in a way that represents you well. Help me to love like Jesus. Help me to live like Jesus. In my own broken, simple, specific way in this situation. So we pray for God's help because this kind of goes with the first point. It's a recognition that I can't do this in my own human strength. The Christian life is this. It is a call to a supernatural life. But I'm not supernatural, are you? But we have one that is, who resides in us. That is Jesus and the Spirit of Christ. And He can give us the wisdom and the strength to live that kind of a life. Psalm 50:15 is our passage here. Call upon me, the Lord says, in the day of trouble. And two things will happen. I will deliver you. I will answer. I will come. But also, you will honor me. That's that we're living for Jesus part. Yeah, God says, I'm gonna minister to you. I'm gonna come. I'm gonna answer. But in such a way that you will honor me in the way that you live it out. That's the pattern. Pastor John Piper, I was reading a little bit about what he had to say about this kind of a prayer, and he made a couple of points I want to share with you. What he prays when he prays this prayer, he says, we need to pray, God, incline my heart to you. My heart tends to go towards all kinds of things. So part of this prayer is, God, help my heart to want you the most, is the way I say it. Because it doesn't naturally do that. So I gotta focus my heart in this prayer. God, incline my heart to you. Open my eyes to your word and to your will and to your way. God, I need to have discernment here. Open the eyes of my heart. Give me spiritual understanding. Give me practical understanding of how to go through this and honor you. Help my soul to find its satisfaction in Jesus, because I am inclined to go after all kinds of other things to get my satisfaction. So God, help me to be a person who is completely satisfied in Jesus, so that I am free to love like Jesus loves and to live and represent Him and be that light. I want to be a little picture of Jesus to this person that I'm dealing with. I want to be a little picture of Jesus in this situation and how I handle it. I won't do it perfectly, but God, I will do it as you work in me a little bit better. So here's the challenge. This is the goal of the Christian life. That I want to be a picture of Jesus to other people. That is a statement of the goal of the Christian life. And let me ask you something though. Does your heart, as you sit here this morning, resonate with that goal? As I say that the goal of my life should be that I want to be a picture of Jesus and how I respond. Again, imperfectly, I'm not trying to lay that on you. But growingly, That is what the Christian life is. Folks, that is why we gather here. That is why we exist. And that is our mission as we go out. And if that does not resonate with your heart, then somewhere along the way, you have gotten a wrong idea of what it even means to be Christian. And maybe even this morning, the great learning moment for you is an aha moment where you say, that isn't what I've been about. I've been about some other things. I'm about, you know, self and getting ahead and climbing the ladder and just surviving. No, the lofty goal of the Christian life is to, in a growing manner, to be Jesus to the world. In our own little simple ways. And that's the prayer. This leads to another third part of this admit, pray. The third part is to trust in a particular promise of God for that situation or for the situation that you are facing. Part of this process of living fully for God is trusting in His promises. And so we've got to be a people. You should have some key promises of God that you have come across, that you have grabbed a hold of, that you hang on to, that match the needs of your life and your situation. Just an example that I have in the verse, and we'll look at this in just a second, but let me set the background. In the Old Testament, an example of this was Abraham was given this promise that he would have this ancestor that would come through his line eventually, and that ancestor would bless all of the nations of the earth. The problem was Abraham and Sarah, even by the time the promise was given, were beyond childbearing age. And then a lot of years passed even after that, and it still didn't happen. And at one point, Abraham tried to take matters into his own hands, and he messed that up, and he comes back. But Abraham, at the bottom line, and this is true of us, we mess up, but Abraham ultimately was a person of faith. And he continued to trust God even after he had messed up. And Romans 4 captures his faith. It says this, yet he, talking about Abraham, did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. God had given Abraham this problem. And Abraham could have wavered. He could have said, this is never going to happen. But it says, he was strengthened in his faith and he gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. That's what faith looks like. It's even though earthly circumstances don't seem like this is gonna happen, and maybe that God isn't really working, faith is, I hold unswervingly, unwaveringly to a belief that God is still at work. We just sang about that. God is still at work in my life and in my situation. He hasn't left me. I'm not alone. It's not hopeless. God's at work. You know, scriptures are full of promises that address all kinds of human situations, even the ones that you're facing right now. Let me just give you a few verses. These won't be up on the screen, but you can jot down the reference. Maybe it's fear. Right now, maybe there are situations and you just find in the world today a lot of fear in your heart. Well, write this one down. Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 41:10. It says this, so do not fear, God says, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Don't fear, God says. I am with you. Some of us need to claim and live and believe into that promise today. Some of you are facing decisions and you're just not sure what to do. James 1. This is James 1, 5 and 6. It says, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it, wisdom, will be given to him. But when a person asks, he must believe and not doubt. If you're facing a decision and you're not sure what to do, and you want to know kind of, well, what is God's will? What is God's way in this decision? Ask. Pray. God, I need discernment right now. I'm not sure which way to go. There's actually a couple of options, and neither of them are bad options. But I want to know what you want me to do. God will supernaturally grant wisdom if you pray and seek and trust. That's a promise from God's Word. Maybe you're just facing, with all that's going on, a sense of being overwhelmed. This is an oldie but a goodie. Romans 8:28. Some of you might even be able to recite that for me. It's one that many people commit to memory. But it says this, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. In all things, that means the good things, but also the difficult things, and even the sinful things that happen. If you trust in God, to those who love Him, He's working all things together for the good of that person. The good meaning he's using it all to make us more like Jesus and to deepen our love and our faith in Him. That's the good. And He's using all the stuff to accomplish that purpose. So you can say with confidence, no matter how crazy life is getting, God has not given up on me and God is still at work. And some of these hard things are actually things that He may be using the most to shape me and to keep moving me to where He wants me to be. Well, we could go on and on. I could sit here all day and we could claim promises of God, but that's the tip of the iceberg. Bottom line is you need to seek and find those promises that are for your situation, that you can hold on to and claim and trust in God for in this process of walking with Him. So we get to this point. We've admitted we need God. We've prayed for His help. We've trusted a promise of God. And so what's next, Christian? We just sit back and do nothing. We just sit back and let God take over and we are on autopilot. Wrong. We got to live. You got to act. That's the next point. Act. Put faith into action and obey God. You've sought Him. You've surrendered. You've sought Him. You've sought wisdom, you've thanked Him, you've said, I need you to guide me and to empower me, I need you. But now it's time to do it, to live it. Put faith into action. My little verse for this, I love this little verse. It's in Nehemiah 4:9. Nehemiah is rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem and they're under attack. And if you read the whole book, and I actually did a sermon series on this a year ago or so, we saw that it all started. Nehemiah prayed and he prayed and he prayed. And this is a little summary verse, but he didn't just pray. It says there in 4:9, but we prayed to our God. That's steps 1, 2, 3 that we've looked at already this morning. And we posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. They prayed and they posted. They didn't say, well, God, we prayed about it, so if the enemy's going to stay out, we're just going to sit here and hope that you keep them out. No, they posted a guard. They took responsibility. They acted. Tony Evans, one of my favorite pastors and commentators on this verse, he says this: the people's actions here are a reminder that the way you know whether you prayed in faith is by what you do after taking the matter to God. What you do after shows whether you really prayed in faith. You can't say, for example, I'm praying that God gives me a job without going job hunting. You got to get out and beat the pavement. When you pray, you are trusting God so much that you feel confident that you can do something. Prayer, he says, is a preamble to action. Faith is an action word ultimately. Yes, it's a dependence on God, but then it's a, I'm going to step out in faith and do something. Now, there's different kinds of people sitting in here. So I want to give a little wisdom here about this thing. Now, there are some kinds of people, you might be one of them, that by nature you are confrontive and or controlling. You don't have to raise your hand. You know who you are. And so, actually, the action for you in faith actually may be inaction. God's word to you may be, it's time to exercise some restraint. Because you're always opening your mouth, and you're always bossing people around, and you're always making decisions. For you, an act of faith may be, it's time to shut up. Time to step back. And other people are little mice, little quiet little mice, timid, never say a thing. Maybe for that person, the application here is it's time to speak up. It's time to let other people feel your weight a little bit. It's time for you to push the play button again. It's time for you to speak up, to step into it, to get involved in your own way. But for all of us, it means following God's truth and God's Spirit and making a kingdom difference. It's time to act, to step into action in the way that God leads you. And God's Spirit and God's Word will lead you. But God's Spirit and God's Word will never turn you into a robot and just automatically make you do it. At some point, after you trust, after you seek, you've got to move. And that is still going to be your choice to do it in God's strength. A while back, a few years ago, after doing a little bit of ministry with the Torch team, I had done a weekend, I got a call asking me if I would take over the Bible study that was a weekly responsibility. And I got to tell you that my initial thoughts and feelings about it were very fearful. This was a group I had not really ever had to deal with, like one-on-one or lead the group. I had deep doubts in my heart. Could I really connect with these teenage boys that were incarcerated? Would they ever listen to anything I had to say? Would I lose control? Would I bore them to tears? Would I connect with them in any way? Every insecurity and fear just rose up in me. But I prayed about it. And God brought to my mind some of my own past and brokenness. And through the process of what this that we're going through this morning, I believed that this was what God wanted me to do, and so I acted. I stepped out. I said, yes, I'll do this. And I count that now, a few years down the road, as one of the most joyful, fulfilling things that I've ever done in my life for the Lord. And I look forward to it. And one of my disappointments with the corona is I can't go and do it right now. And I miss it. But stepping out in faith, acting. Now, our tendency as we kind of come to an end here is that after we've acted, that is it. That's the end. But if we do that, we are leaving out a critical final piece of this process. And that is, finally, thank the Lord for His strength and faithfulness. You've sought Him, you've depended upon Him, you've stepped out in action and you've served Him. Don't forget to come back to Him and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you did. This is actually a critical part of our development of faith. All the time in Scriptures, we're called upon to give thanks to the Lord for the things He's done. Remember His faithfulness and what He's done. Take time to take an inventory of how God has worked, to thank and praise His name. This is actually a discipline. Again, something you choose to do. You sit down and you think about, how do I need to give thanksgiving to the Lord? How has He worked? Maybe you make a list of the big things are pretty obvious, but even the little ways that the Lord has worked. Make a list of everything you're thankful for to the Lord, and then offer that up as a prayer of thanksgiving to Him. So, team, we've met together. I used to play football in high school, and we would gather after each play in our huddle to call the next play. Well, that's what we've done this morning. The play that was called is, how do you go out from here today and live more intentionally for Jesus in everything that you do? That's the play. We called it. Now at the end of the huddle, we all put our hands in the middle. I don't know if they still do this, but probably not in Corona time. We put our hands together and we said, ready, break. And then we'd run up and we would run the play. But if we took too much time in the huddle, or if we got up to the line and took too much time to get the ball snapped, what happened? Yellow flag, delay of game, penalty. So here's the deal. We're getting ready to end the service. Break. Get out there and live this. That's why I said I want you to put this in your Bible. I want you to put this up on your mirror in your bathroom, someplace just to remind you, so that you can get in. This is an actual rhythm that you have to intentionally get in the practice of consciously doing in every situation, every day. Will you do it? Eh? Yeah. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for this little process of walking with you, making sure that we're living by faith, and we're trusting you, and we're depending upon you, and then we're moving out and we're doing actions or whatever that is that your Spirit and your Word is leading us to do, and we're active in it, and we're people that have a thankful heart, thanking you for your continual work in us and through us. Lord, we do want to fulfill this goal, this aim of the Christian life of being little Christs to the people that we come in contact with, to handling the situations that we face with godly wisdom. And God, we're going to just commit our hearts and our lives and our actions to doing this process in the days to come. That is the play that has been called by you, by your word. Help us to be faithful. Help us to run the play. Help us to live the life for your glory and to your praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.